All right, welcome back to the Compound Growth Show. Today I'm feeling a little bit sick, but we got Quincy on the line as well to help fill in and put me on his shoulders and carry this team to a championship. So really excited to talk about this, because this has been one of the topics, Quincy, I don't know how well you know me, but this has been one of the topics for me that grinds my gears a little bit, as they say. So how it started for me was, a couple of months ago, we were talking to a company, and the person gets on the call and they're kind of looking down their nose at me, and they say, look, we don't think about MQLs the way the average company, or no. All right, let's start over again.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we are. Welcome back to the Compound Growth Marketing Show. This is John Short. Feeling a little bit sick here today, so apologies for the nasalness. With Quincy Johnson, here to talk about why we don't care what you call the second stage in the marketing and sales funnel, whether you call it an MQL, a PQL, an HIQL, an MQA, a PQA, whatever you call it, the most important thing is to have that stage in the funnel nailed down and create mutual context between the marketing team and everybody on it, and then the sales team as well. So how this has been a topic that's been on my mind for a couple of months. It drives me a little bit crazy. Quincy, I'm not sure how well you know me, but I think you know this. This drives me a little bit crazy. I'm not someone who is big on, I would just say I'm not the most articulate person in the world. So the differences in language we use and the terms we use has never been that big of a deal to me. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I've always looked at MQL as the second stage in the marketing and sales process. Even when I was working at LogMeIn, early on in their process, they were one of the first product-led growth companies out there. We didn't call it an MQL. I think we called it a qualified lead at that time, so a QL. Yeah. Maybe we called it an MQL. But basically, it signified intent to us. It signified at LogMeIn, it was a signal of intent. Somebody would need to come in, set up one computer with LogMeIn, and connect it to another computer with LogMeIn in order for it to be a qualified lead. Back then when I was there, I think 2009, 2010 timeframe. But I got on a call a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, with talking with the head of marketing, just looking to help them out. And they get on the phone and they say, we don't use MQLs here. At least not in the way that you think about MQLs. And I said, okay, interesting. I'm curious to hear what this is. And it wasn't the first time I had heard this. So I said, well, okay, like, what do you think an MQL is? And they're like, we only count demos, trials, and pricing requests as MQLs for us. And I said, look, I don't think we actually think about this too differently from each other. So, I think when I think about an MQL, I'm looking on two axes of what qualifies it as an MQL. One axis is matched to ICP.
Yeah.
So thinking about the company size, revenue, industry the company's in, the person inside that company who's signed up. So what's their job title, their role, what are they focused on? And then intent. And that is demo requests, trials, pricing requests are at the very highest points of intent. Usually we see actually slightly lower conversion from MQL to SQL for people coming in through a trial. But, you know, super top of funnel ebooks are at the very bottom of that intent pile. And I think where it came about was for a couple of years when HubSpot was growing and they were preaching the inbound philosophy. I think a lot of people took that to mean we got to drive all our content into ebooks.
Yeah.
Whereas I've never found that to be a huge revenue generator. And I think even HubSpot, a majority of, well, I don't know. But I think even HubSpot found that those ebooks were great, but getting users down funnel to request demos, to raise their hand, to say they're really interested in the product was really important. And so I've always considered inbound to be more of a channel strategy than that kind of gated ebook content. But some people see it the other way. I've just spoken for, I think, 5 minutes. Quincy, what are your insights here? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so two things. One, I was laughing because I believe I was on that call that you were talking about with the MQL. Yeah. And I was going back and forth with kind of the same thought and philosophy. I was like, well, we're saying the same things, sort of thing, yeah. Right? It's just that
right.
You're calling it something different. Terminology is completely different, right? And so I think where I've seen it and the things that I find interesting about it is that, like, oftentimes it's unidirectional, right? So marketing puts a label on the thing with no communication, like we talked about, to sales. And so sales doesn't understand what the MQL, the PQL, whatever it is, or what are the levers being pulled to qualify it to sales. And so I think there's a bit that's lost in translation in even putting weight and putting a label on the thing, right? Like, right. And so I think fundamentally, so like, we need to understand from both sides of the fence, hey, what is the underlying definition? What is the reason that these people are coming over to you? Like you said, it doesn't matter what you call it, but it's like, why are they coming to you? Why are they coming to your sales queue? And then also having that alignment from the leadership down, because you would want a CEO to be like, hey, we got 30 MQLs. Like, if they don't know what that means, they don't understand the underlying intent of, like, hey, why these people are being pushed up and how it could potentially translate, then it doesn't matter. Like, they're gonna be like, what's an MQL? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But
there's been, like, I think it is key, because the MQL can be a vanity metric. It can mean nothing if you're not actually qualifying those leads. If 99% of the leads that come into your funnel are converting into an MQL, and your sales team is having a really hard time converting those leads down funnel, then yeah, I think it's going to cause challenges. But the key here is, like, you know, and it's not always the case that we, you know, it's situational, but typically, yep, I recommend creating that double axis where you're looking for a match to ICP and high intent users. And you want to find people in the top right hand quarter of that quadrant to pass along to your sales team, because that creates a really efficient sales motion. There are cases where, you know, that you can make money off of lower intent leads. And so in those cases, what I've done is created a high intent funnel and a low intent funnel. Typically, we're specializing the sale, the SDRs, to go after specific leads. But I think, sorry, going back, I think what is most important when you're talking about communicating to the executive team and communicating to the sales team is that you have some sort of language. I don't care what you call it. I really don't. But some sort of mutual context with them of what an MQL means. And I think that should be really important. If you're going to open up gated ebooks, I would definitely and pass those over to your sales team. Or if you're going to use other methods, like, you know, anybody who scans a badge at a conference, if you're going to create outbound lists, all those types of things where you're still looking to get your sales team to follow up, I would definitely kind of note that, hey, these leads are a little bit lower intent. But we really want to be focusing on these leads that are primed and ready for the sales team to be reaching out.
Well, and I think like to that point, it actually arms you as a marketer, right? Or as a marketing team to be viewed as more strategic rather than kind of viewed as like these people who don't know what they're doing, because you're like, hey, we're getting all these leads. Because when the executives start to ask, why aren't we getting leads pushed through the pipe? And it's like, hey, we can say that we're getting a bunch of leads, but they're low intent, and we're like either nurturing them or we're doing this to make to qualify them more so that they have more of a propensity to like to convert, like when they are talking to the sales team. And so it shows that you're like thinking and your thought process is aligned with growing the business and providing the most the higher success rate to the sales team and to the organization.
Yeah. And what I've been hot on recently is not necessarily I not trying to get people to convert through low value content, looking to get them to engage with more of the site. So I think we put up gated content. We look to collect people's email addresses, like you're talking about, where they're just leads. They're not MQLs yet. We want to nurture them. But I think we use that email collection as a bit of a crutch.
Yep.
From a tracking perspective, to be able to say, hey, look, this is how they originally came in. We now have this user's info. Let's push them down funnel. The challenge that I've seen is we're seeing a lot, the quality has lowered over the years because people have created an email address purely for downloading ebooks. They won't give you the correct information when you're asking for additional information on the form because they just don't care. And they don't want you to have that. We've developed this idea of user score where we're looking at, again, on two axis. I love two axis. We look at how user metrics on the site, number of pages they're visiting, number of minutes they're on the site, number of pages they've viewed. And then on the other axis, it's the quality of the content they're looking at. So are they hitting the pricing page, et cetera? So I do think there are ways that you can create predictive models off of not sending users to gated content, but getting them to actually navigate the site, consume information, and continue to build demand through getting users to the right content on your site and then having them raise their hand when they're ready to talk to you. Because I find if you gate the content, if you try to force people down a certain funnel, you're going to miss out on some of the good leads. It might be, you might get a ton of mid-level people who are filling out forms and wanting to read that ebook, but you're turning away the CEOs, the CTOs, the CMOs, whoever the economic buyer is in the companies that you're looking to sell to. You might be turning those users away who are going to be a little bit more precious with their information and be a little bit less likely to share it.
So what do you say, John, to an executive? Because you have a lot of these conversations with people who puts the pressure on the marketing team if they do push back and say, hey, we don't want to just pass you these ebook leads because there is an organizational pressure to build pipeline and to grow revenue, right? And so like, what do you say to these execs who may put that pressure on their marketing team, said, I don't care, just pass the leads or do this stuff and forcing them essentially not to be a strategic?
Yeah. I think one of the best exercises any company can do is look at the different funnels that they have and how users are converting through that funnel. So yeah. I think there are essentially three really important characteristics to pay attention to. One, you want to look at the channel. How did somebody get to the site? What was their conversion rate after lead? The other is, what funnel did they go down? So did they fill out a demo request? Did they download a white paper? Did they come in through GifTrat? And looking at the conversion rate of those leads from there. And then final is the landing page that they came in on. I think those three characteristics can give you a lot of information about why certain campaigns are successful, how somebody found your site, and how likely, like what their momentum is coming in through the top of the funnel to be driven down to the bottom of the funnel. So I would build out a report looking at all your different funnels, demo request, drift, pricing, ebooks, white papers, and look at the convert at outbound is another one. Look at all of your conversion rates from those different funnels. And oftentimes you'll be able to say, hey, look, demo request, trial, these are going to be our top converting funnels. So rather than looking to drum up a ton of demand on ebooks and see really low conversion rates through the funnel and having to hire an army of very, not very expensive on a per person basis, but a very expensive sales force to be able to chase down all these leads. What if we focused our effort on driving more people into demos, more people into trials, getting more people to use our product? I think ultimately you'll find that's a better experience, better buyer experience, and we'll be a lot more efficient from a marketing and sales perspective.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that is a message for marketers as well to kind of be proactive in like building out those different reports and then reporting that up so that we know, like as like a leadership team, we'll know, hey, we're actually driving revenue, like we're doing the right things. And so maybe we can back off of the pressure of quantity and pivot to a more focus on the quality and the higher conversion rates down funnel.
Awesome.
Cool.
Quincy, I had a question for you. You always have books in the background. What are you reading right now?
I am currently reading none of those books back there.
Why they're back there. That's why they're not on your bedside table.
I'm actually reading a book from the Sixth Sense CEO, CMO called No Forms, No Spam, No Cold Calls on ABM. It's actually really interesting. And it's talking about a lot of the things that we're talking about, to be completely honest, about the all up big picture. So yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I am currently reading American Rascal, which is the story of Jay Gould, who was one of the titans of industry around the turn of the century. I'm learning more, but he really built his empire around trains. And it's just interesting to me to read about business at that point in time where we have the hindsight to kind of look and see how industries were built. And I think we have a lot of opportunities in over the next 20 to 30 years, where there's going to be a lot of development of new business models, new technologies, et cetera. So that's a pretty interesting book. I recommend you taking a look at it.
Yeah, for sure. I think on that same vein, the next step in my queue is the Starbucks experience, as we talked about, like looking at business models and how they were created. Like that's a cult phenomenon. Like people know that the coffee is way too expensive, but it's a cultural thing and it's become synonymous with coffee. And so I'm like, how did that happen? So I'm interested to read that one there.
Yeah, that's cool. What's the one next to the Starbucks experience?
It's UOU by Dr. Eric Thomas.
Oh, okay. I like the sound of that too.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to check out that Sixth Sense book though. Shout out to them.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely really interesting because insider baseball, I also think it's a product pitch at the same time. So it's actually genius.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So they want to make their money. What do you think about Sixth Sense? Just while we're on the topic, 2 minutes, Sixth Sense versus Terminus versus demand base. Which one of those do you like the most right now?
Where's my draft hat? If I were to be drafted into the league,
it's college signing day. Oh my goodness!
If I were to be drafted into the league, I'd say Sixth Sense right now, just because they have a really firm grasp on what we talk about intent and actually how to report that into Salesforce, so that you can arm the sales reps So that's a huge lever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the next piece of this whole conversation, right? With MQLs is arming your sales team with the information about where these leads came from, why they're coming to us, and what the best pitch is, getting them in the door. But I agree that, you know, I'm not in the tools as much on a day-to-day basis, but my understanding is that Sixth Sense seems to be the superior platform out there. And I love the way they integrate intent into the product. So that's all we have for today. Thank you all very much for listening. If you haven't yet, please hit subscribe, like, comment, leave a review. Whatever it is, on whichever platform you're listening to us on or watching us on, thank you all very much. Quincy, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, bye.